Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, Ross Barber.
And Marcy Navelli.
And today on the show, we have Lee Safar, a singer-songwriter, music entrepreneur, and founder of The Music Spring. How are you, Lee?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic for a Sunday morning.
What time is it where you are right now?
It is 8:23 a.m.
And you're in Australia?
I'm in Sydney, Australia. I am.
It is 6:23 p.m. in Toronto here. And Roz?
And it's 11:23 p.m.
So we just fit in the beginning of the morning, afternoon, and evening. Wonderful.
I'm living in your future, guys.
I know. What happens tomorrow?
Saturday is extraordinary. Sunday is looking great. I've been up since 4 a.m. So Sunday is looking amazing so far. Bit of a head fuck, I've got to say. It was a bit of a head fuck the first few hours. However, now that I'm here with you guys, everything is good.
Well, that's wonderful.
That's so good to hear. I'm so glad that I know what's going to happen between now and 4 a.m. is at least going to be awesome.
So the world
doesn't
end,
consider me your oracle. No, it doesn't.
Okay,
not yet. It is a few hours to go.
Okay, good.
Before they all go and bomb the fuck out of everyone else.
Well, yeah.
We won't go into that retardness. We'll talk about music business and shit.
Let's do that.
So, Lee, three things about yourself that everyone should know. Go.
I love peanut butter. I am quite the private person. And I'm completely unpredictable. Oh, let me change the last one. I say fuck a lot.
No. And anyone who's watched Lee's show, The Music Spring, will know that.
Yes. Yes, it seems to be so topical. Like, we have people contact us and say, my parents think it's not great that you say fuck a lot. I'm like, well, who's your parents? What do they do? Well, one of them said he's an astrophysicist. I'm like, well, why the fuck do I care what an astrophysicist thinks of a music entrepreneur program?
Exactly.
And if an artist has a problem with the word fuck, you shouldn't be in the music industry. Move on.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's lesson number one.
Yes.
So Lee, you started, you're actually, besides the Music Spring, you're a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I'm a releasing artist, yeah.
When did you start doing that?
This year is my 10th year since I wrote my first song.
No kidding.
Yeah, 10 years.
That's really exciting.
It is exciting. Go on.
How do you feel like you've evolved since you first wrote that song over the last decade?
Oh, my God. I was only thinking about this the other day because I was listening to the first song that I wrote the other day. And to give you some perspective, when I wrote my first song, I was married. I was in the corporate world. I was living a life where I was like ticking boxes and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I had no concept of how obedient I was. and what I mean by obedient, I was very much living a structured life that was safe. And I was obedient to all the belief systems that I was raised with. From a religious and a moralistic perspective, as well as a societal perspective. And what music did was start me on the road to exploring beyond that, and I got rid of all my belief systems and started from scratch.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And now my life is beautifully passionate and constantly fear-filled and fearless all at the same time.
You know, core beliefs are some of the most difficult things to completely reinvent.
Absolutely.
They're established at such a young age. So I applaud you. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Literally applaud you.
Yay!
So tell us about the Twilight soundtrack.
That was a total... It was a whirlwind. It was a crazy, crazy whirlwind. Because at the time, social media really was emerging for artists. We didn't really quite understand how to use it. I mean, fuck, a lot of artists still don't understand how to use it.
Yeah.
And so... At the time, there was this thing called Twitter, you know?
It's not, not going to go anywhere.
No.
It's another Facebook. You won't really hear about it.
But, you know, MySpace is here forever.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, totally. So, like, at the time, we were... I remember when it all started breaking because it was all fan-led. And I got home from dinner with a girlfriend of mine and she said, I'm going to come up and get my DVD. So she's up grabbing the DVD and it was still in my laptop. So I opened my laptop and to pull the DVD out and noticed that there was like 35 notifications on my Twitter. I'm like, oh, that's weird. Like I've never had that many. And then I refreshed and there was a few hundred. And I started going through and I'm like, Gabby, come have a look at this. This is weird. Like all these Twilight people are like tweeting me. It got to 1,000 an hour. We were there for That's 4 amazing. Hours. It was mental. It was absolutely mental. And it was both elating and soul destroying all at the same time. Twilight fans are aggressive, savage motherfuckers, and I love them. I love them dearly. And I was a Twi fan at the time myself.
Right.
However, they are fiercely passionate. And if they don't like you, they are going to protect the hell out of Twilight. And who the fuck do you think you are to think that your song belongs on the Twilight soundtrack?
I'm like, oh my God.
Whoa, it was me. It was my fans. Relax.
Oh my Lord.
Back the fuck up.
Back up.
Yeah, it was just, it was weird. Like you go on tour with the cast and do all these gigs and things like that. And you're like, this is weird. I remember Chaske and I were sitting, it was here in Sydney. We were at the University of New South Wales. Chaske is the leader of the wolf pack in the movie. And we were just hanging out outside while everyone was in the auditorium listening to one of the panels. And I had my team with me, but they were kind of sitting further away while Chaske and I were sitting down talking. We're just sitting on the ground. And we noticed a couple people come out. And we didn't really take very much notice of it. We just noticed that a couple people came out. And then my photographer came up and she said, guys, I think you two should think about going inside. I'm like, what's the big deal? And more people came out and she came up and she said, you guys really need to think about going somewhere else right now. I'm like, what? Within about 2 minutes from that, we got mobbed. It was really scary. It
really?
And they were like jumping on him.
Wow.
It was horrible.
So that was fun.
How did it all start? Like, was it your fans that actually submitted your song to the people that were in charge of the music, or how did the opportunity come about?
It was weird. A friend of mine, he wasn't even really a friend, he was, but we had just met. We were in London. We had just friend and we had just met and he heard my music and he said, I'm taking you to see a movie. I'm like, what? He's like, your music has blown my mind. I'm taking you to see this movie.
That's awesome.
And we went to see the movie and like crazy weird shit, like what normally happens in my life with signs and stuff like that happened. And he said, we need to figure out how we get your song in this movie. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, they're doing a trilogy. You need to figure this out. He said, I'm just going to send your music to some Twi fans and see what they think. He's a publicist.
Ah, gotcha.
And I'm like, do whatever you want. Like, I'm just like trying to figure my fucking life out. I've just left my husband. I'm just trying to get through the first year of that. And so he sent it to a couple people and they loved it. And he just said, listen to Lee Safar's EP and tell us which song you think should be on the EP, on New Moon. Well, Nutty Madam in the UK, she loved it. She picked her song and she does the reaction videos for Twilight. She's really famous
right.
for that.
Oh, I know her. Yeah, I know the one.
Emma, yeah. And she like cries and gets really emotional, blah, blah, blah. So she heard the EP and went nuts. So she did a reaction video about hearing the EP and picked the song. Well, she got 200,000 views on that video. And all of a sudden, like, people were starting to write about it. And someone that I knew tweeted, I mean, by this time we had been talking with people and whatnot, someone had tweeted to me, I heard a secret that Lee Safar's song is going to be on the New Moon soundtrack. And I thought that was funny, so I retweeted it. And then somebody else retweeted it. And then all of a sudden, and I wrote on my Facebook page, hey guys, go check out what's happening on Twitter. That's really funny. Little did I know that someone who I was friends with, we were just Facebook friends because, she added me and we just got on really well. Little did I know that she owned the Twilight Facebook page, the official Twilight Facebook page. So what did she do? She took the song and she took the tweet and she posted it on the Facebook page for Twilight, which at the time had 9 million people on it. So everyone was going nuts. And then soon enough, MTV Hollywood wrote an article saying, what do Lee Safar, Kelly Clarkson, Madonna, Coldplay and Kings of Leon all have in common? They're all being considered for the Twilight soundtrack. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, whoa.
It's crazy.
This Twitter thing?
There might be something here.
It almost became like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. And it just went nuts. Like, MTV ended up writing 4 articles. I got hit up for interviews. I like crazy. It was insane. And so that was 2 years. It went on for 2 years. And then when I didn't get on the soundtrack, it was hilarious. Oh my God. It was.
I love your sense of humor.
I had to create a video just to tell them that I wasn't on the soundtrack. And I was happier that I wasn't on the soundtrack because having seen what I had seen, I didn't want to be a part of that whirlwind, and nor was my career ready for me to be a part of that. So I had made that business decision that if they say yes, that's fine. We'll have to find a way to run with it.
Right.
But if they say no, I felt a sense of relief. And so I posted this video saying, guys, I just want to let you know it's not going to be on the soundtrack and that I'm okay. First and foremost, I need you to know that I'm okay. Well, fuck, they were devastated. They were so upset, and they're so beautiful. I have the best fans in the world, but they were really, really devastated about the fact. They were so invested in me getting on the soundtrack that when I wasn't on the soundtrack, they felt that they had failed, and they broke my heart. I was trying to help them get through the ordeal.
Guys, it's okay, I didn't get on it.
Yeah, it's like, this has been an amazing ride so far, but trust me, this is not the direction that I want my career to go. I don't want to be part of the fashion music business. Uh-huh. I'm an artist who writes stuff about how I'm discovering myself and how I'm trying to re-piece myself together. Being a part of that big, big, big business is not going to actually help me achieve the things that I'm looking to do as an artist within myself. It's going to detract me from that. And that's been the direction that the conversation has gone with my fans since then, and it's been incredible. It is so fucking cool, the relationship that I have with my fans.
I was going to say, speaking of your fans, you crowdfunded your new album.
We haven't started that yet. Say that again.
You're going to be crowd writing?
We're going to co-write.
Yeah.
So this has never been done before. We're going to co-write the whole album together. It's an enormous project. And it's going. It's a two-year project. We have been in planning for it the whole of this year, and we will be in planning for it at least another 6 months.
What are the legal logistics to writing, co-writing with several different people?
It's a wee bit of a nightmare.
Uh-huh.
And what we decided we have to do is we have to tell people, we have to have a blanket statement up front saying this is what's going to happen, this is how it's going to be done.
Uh-huh.
We can't have people who have publishing deals be a part of this.
Uh-huh.
So the point of the album is to explore what the album is called, Love and Other Delusions. And what that means is, excuse me, when we're kids, we're taught that love is a certain thing. We learn it from fairy tales. We learn it from movies. We learn it from the people around us. And we have this idea of what love is going to be like when we get older. But then we grow up into our life and we experience this thing that is love that doesn't match that ideal of what we saw in fairy tales, and we are head fucked. And so we're constantly trying to figure out, am I doing this right? Why doesn't it feel like it did in those movies when I was a little kid? And how come there is no Prince Charming and I'm sitting around waiting and this guy turned up in my life and he's kind of cool, but he hasn't swept me off my feet and there hasn't been any magical kiss that wakes me up from this oblivion, blah, blah, blah. And so we're constantly like looking at different things than what's actually happening in the now. And me, for one, I want to explore the difference between that fantasy love and that authentic love and that unconditional love. And 100% of the people that I speak to about this, excuse me, everyone says, how can I be a part of this? I want to understand it too. And so I think this is an important conversation for us to have. It's integral to our consciousness as a collective to start understanding and the layers that have been put on our souls and our expectations of what living is when it comes to love. I think that society and the establishment and all those, you know, intricate systems that have been placed around us are geared to have us believe that love is something very different than what it really is. Freedom Right. is not important.
Love isn't a ring. Love isn't how much you spend on somebody, you know, what present you got them. I it's very funny you said this. Just my wife and I wear wedding rings, and we both think it's the stupidest thing ever. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm at the point where often we don't wear it for days on end just because it's like, that's not our love. You know, that's
no.
not, it's actually a very, and especially it's only been the idea of a wedding ring is less than 100 years old. the idea of like a diamond ring and to, you must yeah. get a diamond ring to propose and all that kind of thing. It's a very, very interesting, it's always really interesting to break away from the way that society has made you believe that you should be. And a lot of people have a real problem with that when you do that. You get a lot of resistance.
It's a structure of ownership, and I'm not a fan of ownership of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of detachment. But I think what's even more interesting there is the fact that we wear these rings even though we know, even those of us who have become conscious of the idea that this is...
Like myself.
Not something... Yeah, exactly. What is it? What's that tiny little space between what you know and feel doesn't work with your vibration?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you continue to do it, that little space is what will bring you freedom.
Absolutely. So yeah. Tell us about the Music Spring. What got you started? What inspired you to start the Music Spring?
I am from the corporate world. So I used to work for IBM and I didn't fit in there. Even though I was there for 8 years, I kept feeling like this didn't work for me. I desperately wanted to fit in. Much like in religion, I desperately wanted to fit in. And I worked really hard at fitting in both of those things. But when you know, you know. And eventually the universe kind of says, here's your out.
As you put it out there too, right?
Yeah, totally.
You only receive exactly. what you put out there. So,
and the more open you are, like, and it comes in tiny little chunks, you know. And once you've walked that tiny little step of going, maybe this isn't right for me, just that considering kind of pushes you to that point where eventually those tiny little steps go, I am so not fucking with these people, and eventually you're out there, you know. And so I came into the music industry quite late compared to, you know, most artists start quite young. Mm-hmm. I didn't. And I'm really glad that my life course happened that way, because by the time I came into the music industry, I'd had a career. And when I did come in, I was looking at what was going on around with the labels and Napster and all that kind of stuff, and I thought, this is all going to fall over. Mm-hmm. And I could see it happening. This business model doesn't work. And the labels just were reacting very slowly. And 2 years ago now, we were at a friend had invited me to go to a business conference with him, and we were sitting in the audience, and the speaker was saying, so when you're looking at creating business models, the way to do something like that is find what's not working. Mm-hmm. And try and bring the people together who can fix that. And I'm from Syria, so the Arab Spring is incredibly close to my heart. And when I was looking at what was happening with the Arab Spring, how the people had decided that this isn't good enough for us. We can come together and change this. I was looking up at this guy saying this stuff about people coming together to fix something that is broken, and immediately I said it out loud. I went, oh my God, the music spring. Hmm. And I looked at my friend who was next to me and went, the music spring. And he said, yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
And so I didn't even know what it meant. I just let it roll around in my head for about 6 months. And when I finally figured it out, it was 3 weeks from then the show went live.
it's very funny because it's very similar. Like Ross and I, it just happened. It's one of those things that just felt right. I don't even know how it happened.
You just done your interview with Music Bizcast, and as soon as you finished doing it, you messaged me and said, let's do a podcast. And I said, okay.
Simple as that. And relate to anything that I find so far in my years on this planet, and you probably relate to this, it's the easiest things, the things that just feel right, that are right, I guess, that feel that you're not overthinking it. There's nothing beyond just feeling like you want to share some sort of experience, and it's coming from such a true place. There was no thought of, you know, okay, we're going to do something to make money or something. You know, in fact, it's a very time consuming thing to do. And just the emails alone, it's a lot of work and everything. Yes. And it's just for the pure passion of it. So it's something that I think Russ and I, being very new to this, something that you're not so new to, that we are, it really is, you've got to do it because it feels right and it's natural. And we can definitely relate to that. I know I can.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. The guy who was sitting next to me at the time, he and his family happened to be living in LA at the same time as I was living in LA, and they had moved back to Australia. I had moved back to Australia. But when we were living in LA all at the same time, he and I would catch up regularly. And he said to me, Lee, I want to teach you something that a very wise person once said to me. Because at the time, stuff was going really hard for me, and I didn't understand why I was struggling so much. And he said, you have to just go with the natural forces. The natural forces will show you exactly where you need to go. And when you do flow with the natural forces, everything flows easy. And this is exactly what's happened with the Music Spring and with what's happening with this show. I think that this show is actually going to be a really big thing in music business. What you guys are doing, I think it's really important.
Jeez, thank you.
Yeah, no, I dreamt of it last night.
No way.
Yeah, no, seriously.
That's really cool.
Yeah, you guys need to keep doing this. I think it's an amazing outlet. I think it's a really great way for artists to be represented authentically. And I know this interview hasn't been all funny and humorous and everything.
No.
But yeah, this is actually going to be quite a big brand. So keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you
and,
for that.
We're excited about promoting it on the Music Spring.
Very cool.
Awesome. That is very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. That's just very nice. It's, you know, we're just doing it for the love of it and just want to share these experiences with people.
I think that this is the new music industry, the way that all these little things that are starting up where they're run by passionate people, this is the new music industry. Passion is going to be driving. Yeah, absolutely. And having artists plugged into that, that are focused on music entrepreneurship and all of us working collectively together to raise that vibration, that's what the Music Spring is the core of that. We're the connector that brings all of these people together so that they can start doing all of that.
I love it. So what sort of, do you have any interesting or funny stories that you've, over the last, I guess, decade or even the last few years, being a singer-songwriter as well as running the Music Spring, I know that Ross had pointed out that you had been flying to LA to meet with some producers.
Oh, yeah, that was an interesting experience. Not funny at all. That was, you know, you go and you meet with these people who say that they are the producers of massive, massive bands in the world. And they are. This particular producer was responsible for some of the biggest names that ever released. But he was responsible for them as an A&R manager, not as a producer. So he took a lot of my money.
Mm-hmm.
And at a time when, I remember we were up in his mansion and we were in pre-production, and this was the second day of pre-production, and we were working on some songs, and he was on a drum kit with a phone on his lap, and all of a sudden his face went green. And I said to him, "Are you okay?" And he went, "I just lost a few million dollars." I'm like, "What?" He went, "Yeah, apparently everything's crashed." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Apparently, like, the world markets have all just fallen over." It was the crash in 2008, the big crash. And my immediate thought was, "Oh my God, this guy, I just paid this guy most of my money." And I think that everything is going to get really tough for the next 10 years globally.
Uh-huh.
And I've just given him all my money. And he got so broke that he literally couldn't pay for lunch. His own lunch, not my lunch. He couldn't pay for his own lunch.
Oh, my God.
And you're in a situation, like, imagine this. Like, it was the year I had literally left my safe life. I left the country I lived in. I left my marriage. I left my family. I left my friends. I moved to Los Angeles. I handed over my money to this guy. I knew nobody in Los Angeles. And I was terrified. Absolutely terrified. I'm like, I have no idea what's going to happen. And yet, everybody around me was going, "Oh my God, Lee's working with said douchebag. How exciting is this? Like, he's done this band and this band and this band. She's going to be so famous."
Uh-huh.
And it's so incredible. And so here's the dichotomy. You are feeling like you just want to die because you can see what's happening. You can see, you're in it. You know this gut-wrenching experience. And then you have to go into Universal Studios and record this thing knowing what's happening. And it was sickening. The whole experience was sickening. But everybody around me was like, oh my God, my friend's in LA doing this. And oh my God, the fans were going nuts over it.
Dichotomy is the word right there. The dichotomy between those two completely different energies.
Insane. Yeah.
And that's exactly the point. That whole experience is what fed the necessity for the Music Spring.
Coming around full circle, I like it.
Yeah, totally. That that idea that I never want another artist to have to swim in that bullshit because they don't understand how it works. They don't understand that you don't need to be played that way to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And even if you are played that way, it doesn't mean you're going to be successful.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the facade, right?
Absolutely. And I was, when I look back at it and I see how beautiful the universe works with all of it, because I see all the things that were telling me, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out, leading up to being on the way to the studio. It's not too late, get out. It's not too late, get out. All the people that were sent to me to say these certain things, and I knew it. Like when I looked at every single, in hindsight, you know, it's such a beautiful thing. And you look back at it and you think, at least 8 people clearly told me, without them realizing it, this is how this is going to play out. They didn't say in those words. Like people would say to me, so hold on, I'm confused. Like, so this was somebody completely out of the music business. He said, can you come over? I need to have a chat to you. Come to the office. And he sat down and he said to me, so listen, I know that everyone is like so excited about this thing that you're doing, but something just doesn't make sense to me. If this guy thinks that you're the next big thing, how come you're paying him?
Yeah.
And immediately my heart sunk, because he was so right. He was so right. And that's the point when you're so invested and everybody around you is creating all this much hype and you've handed over half the money. And the contract that he's written is a very LA contract. So it says you're going to lose that deposit no matter what. And you think, well, I can't get out of this now. Now I know I can get out of it and I could get a lawyer and I could get all of that money back and then some, given what he had done.
Actually, this leads right into my next question. Having gone through that, what sort of advice would you give to aspiring musicians and, you know, someone who is offered a deal like that?
I would say that if somebody believes in you, they won't require any money from you. If somebody believes in you, they understand what's going on in the music industry and they won't require you to pay for their services. It is absolutely different if you go up to somebody, if you go up to an attorney and say, I need you to read over this contract for me. You understand that that's an exchange of service for money and everyone knows what's expected. But when someone comes up to you and says, I can make you a star, I believe in you, I believe that you're the next big thing, it's only going to cost you X amount of dollars.
Ah, yes, in that situation, yes. I think you know? In general, because for example, like when I did my debut album, I worked with producer Jim Wirt, and he's still very supportive to this day. But yeah, of course, I paid him for his work. But he never came up to me saying, I'm going to make you a star. You know, it was, you know, you want to make a record together. So yeah, that makes perfect sense. When someone comes up to you and says they're going to make you a star, and but, you know, give me $100,000 or $50,000.
He's still operating now. Hmm. But this big, big, big douchebag.
What's his name?
I would so happily say it if I wasn't going to get... No, I would get sued.
You get sued?
Yeah. Just know that his name has a color as his surname.
Yeah, you can't get sued for that.
Yeah.
So, Lee, are you ready for 20 questions?
Oh, yes. I'm very excited for 20 questions.
All right. Ready,
I'm
set.
I'm a little scared. Got to tell you.
Go.
Don't be scared.
Coffee or tea?
I should just say... Oh, coffee.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I should just answer peanut butter to everything.
I like it. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Oh, veggies. I'm a vegan.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, we are. We already established this. I get so excited whenever someone says it's stupid.
Me? Too excited.
CD or vinyl?
CD.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Peanut butter or jelly?
Oh, my God. What's jelly?
Twitter or Facebook?
Both.
Melody or rhythm?
Melody.
Rock or EDM?
Ooh, both.
Indie or major?
Oh, God. Fuck, really? Indie.
Rain or shine?
Say again?
Rain or shine?
Rain. I love like curling up in bed when it's raining and then like writing music. Yeah.
No, I love sunshine for my well-being, but I don't write unless it's like winter or rain, so yeah, it's bad for my songwriting career.
I can't wait to hear some of your music. I think that we've probably got quite a good vibe, like similar vibe. Yeah,
awesome. Nine Inch Nails or Miley Cyrus?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Please don't even get me started on that bitch. Go on.
Yogurt?
Yoga.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Celine.
Kylie Minogue?
Minogue.
What?
Ross wrote this one.
Ross, you say this one, okay?
Kylie Minogue or Delta Goodrum? They're Australian.
Oh.
I know the songwriter for Delta. So, Delta's songwriting, Kylie's persona.
Okay, Ross, you finish this off.
Okay. Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Uh-huh. Twilight or Harry Potter?
Oh, that one's probably the hardest so far.
Good. Can you say it like a British person, though, Ross?
Oh, sorry. Twilight or Harry Potter?
You can't say the Harry H, Potter. Though. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. I'm going to go with... I have to go with Twilight.
Yeah, I think you'd be slaughtered if you didn't.
Yeah, fuck.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Oh, Ricky Gervais.
Yes.
Whale or kale?
Kale.
Yeah. Again, so excited. Embarrassing. It's my automatic reaction. Yeah, kale. You like
someone
kale.
Says a vegetable.
You're also
I love
a vegan.
You. I know. We're such... deplorable vegans.
No
vegans
wonder everyone like, hates us vegans.
Yeah, right? I heard
you're
this
vegan.
Joke once.
Thanks. Thumbs up for being vegan.
I know, right? I heard this joke once. A guy who came on my show, he said to me, how do you know if someone's a vegan?
Because they'll tell you.
Like, yeah, exactly. They'll tell you. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't tell everyone I'm a vegan. And then every time I say to someone, but I'm vegan. I'm
yeah,
like,
we do.
Fuck yeah, I do.
And we always
everyone.
Have this smug look on our faces like, we're like, morally superior than you are.
Totally. Yeah.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
I'm a massive Bette Midler fan.
Okay, and the last final one, the drum roll. I keep doing drum rolls and doing a trumpet sound.
I love
Ross
you.
Or Marcio?
I would take you both at the same time.
Oh, wow.
That's not the first time I've heard that.
It's really not.
Woo! I have to take my sweater off. It's getting hot here.
I'm all sweating.
Jesus. Holy.
Take that to my next meeting with me.
You are wonderful. What's on your iPad these days? What are you? What music are you listening to that everyone else should be checking out?
Actually, a band that Ross put me onto. Yeah, I'm listening to a lot of Rita Payne at the moment.
We've had them on the show. They're really cool.
I had them on my show and their music is outstanding. Yeah. So
they're going places for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're beautiful humans and they're really authentic and their music is just who they are. So
that's the way it should be.
Exactly. So they're everyone should check them out. I've got Miss Lauryn Hill also.
Oh yeah, I used to listen to Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
In the day.
I love her. The MTV Unplugged album she did was really, really good. Really good. She has a really bad cold and she's like really ill and she's like coughing through the songs and she cries and it's very real. It's
no
really
way.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really
and she talks a lot. She's like talking about the establishment and the illusion and all the illusions that are placed in front of us. So you would really like it, Marcio. Check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really good. It's
I'm definitely going to check that out.
So and I got one more.
Yeah, please do. Tell us. Share music. Hey, we are all about sharing music on here. So.
Yeah, above and beyond.
Above and beyond. Cool.
Oh, the amazing. Trance kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are they from?
I'm familiar with them.
From the UK.
The UK. Cool. And awesome. Where can people find you online? I found it. I sounded so enthusiastic, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah.
I'm kind of everywhere. I'm a social media whore.
Well, I should mention here that we waited about 5-6 minutes to get started here because Lee had to do her social media-ing.
Oh, yeah, you know.
But people can find you at leesafar.com.
Yeah, right? leesafar.com. On Twitter, leesafar.
Leesafar. They should definitely check out themusicspring.com.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Also, I'm kind of everywhere. Just Google Lisa Farr and you'll find all the crazy shit that goes on in my life. It's quite, I often say to people, I have quite the extraordinary life just because I have amazing people that find me and share their lives with me. And I feel very humbled by that.
You know, I love your energy, honestly. Same to you, honestly. I loved your energy. I love your energy.
Thank you.
I definitely, it's a beautiful energy and definitely would love to have you back.
And, I would love to.
I think you've got a lot more to say. So I think
we have at least
definitely five episodes
to talk about.
we can definitely do more.
Absolutely.
Excellent. I'd love to come back.
Thank you so much and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Awesome. Peace, love and peanut butter, guys.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Lee. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.